God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Former President Ronald Reagan had a favorite story that he often told. It's a story about a timid little man, only 5'2" tall, who walked into a biker bar. And there were all kinds of individuals there, most of them bewhiskered, many of them sporting tattoos and leather jackets, and you kind of have the picture of what was going on. The little guy cleared his throat and he nervously asked the bikers, excuse me, but which one of you gentlemen owns a black pit bulldog which is chained outside in the parking lot? And a big giant of a man, 6'8", wearing a leather biker gear and jacket and the whole nine yards, he turned slowly on his stool and he looked down at this little young man. And then the biker said to him, it's my dog. What's that to you? And the little man squeaked nervously, well, sir, I believe that my dog just killed your big dog, your pit bulldog. And the giant biker looked down at him and said, what? What kind of dog do you have that would kill my big pit bulldog? The little man nervously said, it's a small miniature Pekingese. And a giant biker said, that's ridiculous. It's just, how in the world could a little Pekingese kill my big pit bulldog? Little man swallowed hard and said, it appears that my Pekingese got caught in his throat. All right, now get ready, because our theme for today is the power of little things. The power of little things. Jesus once compared the kingdom of God to a tiny little mustard seed. I wonder, how many of you are farmers? Did you raise your hand if you're a farmer? Okay. How many of you grew up on a farm? Oh, look at all the hands that are up there. That's good. Because if you are a farmer or if you grew up on a farm, you understand this whole business of planting little seeds. You know, farmers insurance company says, you know a thing or two because you've seen a thing or two. And if you're a farmer or if you've grown up on a farm, you know a thing or two about planting seeds in the ground and watching them grow and bear abundant fruit. Now, we need to remember that 2,000 years ago when Jesus was teaching people, virtually every single listener was familiar with agriculture and with the planting of seeds. People couldn't run to the local grocery store to pick up food. Most of them only ate what they could produce right from seeds. And so today, Jesus is going to teach us a thing or two about this business of planting seeds. Not green beans or watermelons. He's talking about mustard seeds, and he's talking about how the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts and lives of people, how that grows in the world today. It's hard to believe that from this tiny little mustard seed, a significant plant grows and grows. Now, the mustard seed is a woody shrub. It's not really a tree that can grow as high as 8 to 15 feet tall. And as we indicated, it's not even truly a tree. It's a woody shrub, but it has a tendency to take over everything in the garden. It's almost impossible to cut down unless you use a machete or a chainsaw. And if you cut it down, it will regrow and sprout from its roots over and over again. The mustard plant is one of the hardiest plants on earth. The mustard plant is useful for flavoring food, as we know, yellow mustard. It has edible leaves, mustard greens, and parts of the plant have medicinal value. I don't know if they still do that today, but we used to get a mustard plaster when we had a serious cold. But despite the value and the strength of the mustard plant today is considered pretty much a weed instead of a shrub, and it's not a very pretty thing to look at. Beyond that. But don't dare to plant mustard seed in your garden because it's going to crowd out all the other plants and take the whole thing over. Anywhere the mustard seed is planted, it just spreads like wildfire. You can't get rid of it. Now, Jesus said in today's gospel lesson, Mark 4, verse 30, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts and lives of people, or what we commonly know as the church? What can we compare the kingdom of God with, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground, it's the smallest of all seeds on earth, and yet when it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and it even puts out large branches so that birds of the air can come and make its nests in its shade. Notice again that Scripture says that the mustard plant is a shrub, not truly a tree. Not like the big sequoias in California or the 200-year-old oak tree in a lot of city municipal parks. The mustard plant is just that. It's a shrub, and a lowly shrub at that. Somehow, though, this little mustard seed that grows into a mustard plant and begins to take over is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts and lives of people today. The growth of God's kingdom is like this aggressive takeover of the garden. That's the parable of the mustard seed. So let's dig into that a little bit. What is the Lord wanting us to know about this parable? Three things, mainly. Number one, God wants us to understand that the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts and lives of people, or what we commonly know as the church, is something that starts small. Jesus says in verse 30, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed that you plant in the ground. Now, actually, mustard seed is not the smallest seed in the world, but it was the smallest seed in biblical days, the smallest seed that people were aware of in that day and age. You know that you could take 200 mustard seeds and put them on the face of a penny? You know that it takes almost 1,000 mustard seeds in order to weigh 1 ounce? A group of tourists were visiting a city in Europe, and one of the tourists said to the tour guide, "Were there any famous men born in this city?" And the guide said, "Nope, only babies were born here." The kingdom of God started with a single baby that was placed in a manger in Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, by the way. And even when Jesus died on the cross, the kingdom of God was still comparatively very small. A theologian and Irish pastor by the name of R.C. Trench says this about the smallness of the kingdom of God. "The Son of Man was born in obscurity, and Jesus grew up in a despised province. Jesus did not appear in public until his 30th year, and then he taught for only 3 years in neighboring villages and occasionally in Jerusalem. He only had a few followers, chiefly among the poor and the illiterate, and then falling into the hands of his enemies, he died a shameful death on a cross. This was the commencement of the kingdom of God." Well, today, that humble beginning of the kingdom of God, the reign of God in the hearts and lives of people today, is growing into the world's largest religion, with 2.2 billion adherents in the world to the Christian religion. And of those 2.2 billion adherents, that's only a small percentage of the 6.9 billion people in the world. Actually, that's a pretty significant possessions of the total global population. Recall that when Lutheran Church of the Lake started, I was serving in the mission department at the Michigan District when I got a call from a woman. Her first name was Beverly. And she said, "I think God wants a church started or planted here somewhere in this," she called it Manitou Beach area at that time. And so I remember those days when there was a handful of people. I met with Beverly and I met with those few families, some of whom you know, met with them in their cottages and in their lake homes. And we started worship services in the old Target building with a handful of people. I remember those days like it was yesterday when we were gathering in the Target building for worship. And that's the first thing that I want us to glean from this parable of the mustard seed, is that God's kingdom always starts small. The second thing we need to understand is that once planted, God's kingdom grows steadily. Steady growth. Jesus continued in verse 32, "When it is sown, it grows up and it becomes larger than all the garden plants." And as we indicated, that mustard plant can grow sometimes as high as 15 feet tall. That's a huge plant that comes from that little tiny seed. And the kingdom of God, or the church, started with only very few people. The kingdom of God, though, has grown into a global family of 2.9 billion people. And together, we confess the Apostles' Creed, the same creed that we confess in the church today. Jesus called in the beginning 12 disciples. One of them dropped out, Judas. He called 12 disciples in order to make up this inner core, this little tiny mustard seed of the kingdom of God. And then Jesus told these 11 men to go out and to change the world. On Pentecost Day, 11 disciples were joined by 109 other believers who were praying together in the upper room. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, we read, "In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, an average number of wedding guests at an American wedding, by the way. These 120 people prayed together for 10 days. And then the Holy Spirit came and was poured out in abundance, tongues of fire on their heads, speaking in foreign languages, people hearing the gospel in their own native tongue. And on that day, after Peter got up and explained from the Word of God what was happening and what God's will was, Acts 2:41, those who accepted Peter's message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:47. I want you to consider for just a moment what God is doing in China. Besides increasing tariffs, in 1949, there were less than 400,000 Christians in China. Today, in China, there are 163 million Christians in China. More Christians than in the United States of America in China today. That number represents only 12% of China's total population of 1.4 billion people. God's kingdom continues to grow until one day in heaven there will be a multitude that's too large to even count. Revelation 7, verse 9, John said in exile on the island of Patmos when God gave him a vision into heaven of what it's going to look like after the resurrection of all flesh at the last day. And after this, John looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. They were all standing before the throne and in the front of Christ, the Lamb. That is nothing else, people, than the mystery of the mustard seed. Starts small, grows steadily, and look what it becomes. And that's going to lead us to the third thought that we draw from this parable of the mustard seed. God's kingdom offers shelter. Shelter. Jesus continued in verse 32 of the gospel, "The mustard shrub puts out such large branches so that the birds of the air can make their nests in its shade." Just as a mustard seed provides shelter for birds, we find protection and shelter in the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Recall Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High God will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." You know, the plight of little tiny birds is that they do fly around, but they can't stay in the air forever. They have to land. They need a place to land and rest and recharge, to feed, to refuel, and to charge their batteries. And you know, like those birds, you and I can get so tired of going, 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 and working, 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 and hurting, 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 that we need a place to land. We need rest. We need nurture. We need recharging. That's the kingdom of God. That's the church of Jesus Christ. Here in the church, the kingdom of God, we find shelter. We find shelter, first of all, from the wrath of God that He pours out upon human sin. We're protected from that. We're in shelter. We're not going to experience God's furious wrath on the day of judgment because of our sins. We have shelter. We are cleansed of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ, which He shed on the cross as a sacrifice and a full payment for our sins. 1 John 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. We have shelter in the kingdom of God. To be sheltered on this branch of the mustard seed means trusting that Jesus already took our punishment on the cross and rose again from the dead. When you and I come as tired birds into the church, the kingdom of God, the mustard seed branch, you need a bird bath, baptism, where God takes water, connects it to the Word, and washes us in that bird bath, freeing us from sin and condemnation, from all the law that, and the fury that it can bring. And when we come to the shelter of the kingdom of God, do you need a bird feeder? God offers us the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. His true and innocent body and blood given and shed on the cross for the payment for our sins, we receive that in the Lord's Supper, truly present in, with, and under that bread and wine. Well, let me just say a word or two here about, I remember the first Sunday here as your vacant pastor at Lutheran Church of the Lakes. Do you remember? I stood right there, or right there, and I asked you, all right, people at Lutheran Church of the Lakes, are the best days of this congregation behind us or ahead of us? And do you remember what you said? Our best days are yet to come. I want to just dwell on that for a second. And I want you to hear something like you're hearing it for the first time. The words of Jesus in Luke 17, verse 6, Jesus said to His disciples, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and that tree would obey you. If you only had the faith of a mustard seed. I want to say, we prayed every Sunday for a year and a half. Every Sunday we prayed that in His mercy, God would send us a pastor. Remember? And not just any pastor, but the right pastor at the right time with the right gifts. And now that man sits there with his son on his lap in his new home, his home in Clark Lake and also his home here in our beautiful church. So Almighty God, now that pastor is here, we just want you to keep your promise. That's all. I want to hold you to your promise. We started small, like the mustard seed. You've blessed us with significant growth. But we look forward to what You have in store as You bless the ministry of the Word in this congregation through the preaching of the gospel, through outreach into our community and world with the good news of Jesus Christ. We can't wait. So God, just keep Your promise. Amen. Now may the